get this, I'm going to destroy Olivet if I can't get my way. You people need to wake up. It must be fulfilled. I will destroy this church if I don't get what I want. You need to ask people, what's your intent? What is your intent? This interaction is a craving of the individual's own nature. It ain't God. God says, don't blame me. That ain't me. That ain't me. That's you. You. Oh, yeah, I want this to sink in. That's you, John. Somebody asked me, why you love brothers? I said, I love their natures, man. I want them to be fully men. Most men in the church, especially in the inner cities, have been feminized by their mothers and grandmothers. They do not know how to think like men. They think like women. They don't even rationale right because they weren't raised by a man. So what's your thing, John? My thing is to make them get this, guys, just like me. Yeah, you're right about it. Because I don't want to think like a feminized male. And that's why I'm so offensive to folk. Because I don't think like a female, I think like a man. And I know that's the man, they don't do that now. Let me give you something else. When it is indulged, it becomes malignant and is destructive of personal well-being. I don't care what you say, I'm going to do it. See, that's you being carried away by your own lust. Oh, I'm going to define this. So if it ever happens in anybody in this church, I'm going to say, hey, man, you carried away with yourself. You think you're that bad? Oh, you Mr. Big, huh? You are untouchable, huh? No, you're not. Let me give you something else. The cravings become sinful when it is encouraged and acted upon. See, it becomes sinful when you encourage this behavior. And you act on it. Yeah, right, man. I agree with you. Yeah, sister, I agree with you. Uh-huh, I'm there too. Right. That's why I said I don't want no friends. I want friends of the word. Don't link up with me as your personal home buddy. Oh, no. This ain't no political agenda here. When the human will consents, that is, to the illicit union and lustful feelings become impregnated with sin, then it's conceived. Man, the thought begins, you build on it, then it's conceived. What's happening after it's conceived? It is man's will bent towards the evil suggestion and seizing that suggestion. This is what gives birth to sin. Keep in mind, this ain't no still birth. This is a real birth. This ain't no dead birth, man. This is real. And you know it, and you got to keep perpetrating it. You got to keep it going. What do I gain from this? And I think that's a very important thing. I would say, firstly, that each lust gives birth to its own sin in the individual human experience. I don't care whatever yours is. Man, if it's power, if it's prestige, if it's selfishness, or if it's to, let's put it this way, let's get real, church, to break Pastor John. That's easy. He's human. You can break him up all you want to. Secondly, it becomes a positive act in which a person is knowingly disobedient to God's will. Knowingly. I know I'm wrong, but I got enough to tell me that I'm right. Y'all folk better be very, very careful. Very, very careful. Which leads to what result? I think James talks about it very well in verse 15. It brings forth death. It is born, then it is developed, and it comes to fruit, and then it kills you. That's what James is saying in this verse. I'm going to go over that again. It's born in you. It's developed in you. And you know what? Listen. Good preaching like this stops the development. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to stop the development. That's why I preach to you like this. Because if it's not stopped, it's going to bring forth your death. And any chump pastor that won't preach to you like this wants to see you die. Oh God, rid me from this evil that is laying under my skin. I'm trying, Pastor John, I'm trying. Matured sins brings forth spiritual death in the life of the believer. The believer begins to look like a sinner. There ain't no spiritual life in him or her. Everything they have to say, it has no spiritual life in it. And that'll jump on you and take your life. It'll take you, and listen, those of you that got them in your family, you better wake up. Look in the mirror or smell the coffee. And say, you know, you ain't right. You know, that's how easy it is. You ain't right. Don't talk to me. Get out of my face. Bring some tension on them. I don't care if they do leave you. You need them to leave you. Heathens? You ain't right. That's what you need to do. Let's come on down to the last part. See on your outline. A warning against being deceived. Verse 16. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Man. We are admonished not to get carried away with such behavior in our individual personal lives. God is saying, don't get caught up in this now. Don't get caught up in this. Don't you be deceived. God is saying, no, I'm still working here. We are to watch our wandering from the point of reference that God has intended. God is saying, do I want you here? See, you people need to own up to this. And the final admonition is that we are indeed beloved brethren. He says, brethren, don't be deceived. Now, I don't know whether some of you have been deceived. I think you have. I think you've been deceived. Like I said in this message, please don't get attached to me personally as a friend, because you can be deceived by personal friendships. But we're dealing with the spirituality here. Don't get all caught up in personal friendships. Somebody saying things, you treating you right and you this and you that. That don't mean bull. You being deceived. And the way you find out whether you're being deceived is you come to somebody and say, I need some clarification. Why don't I see you? Listen to the answer. And then deal with that. But if you're afraid to lose a friend, you've been deceived. In conclusion, after much analysis of these verses said before us, each of us is left with an important decision to make. Never blame God for those sins that we so easily undertake ourselves, that we've taken upon by our own obligation, because we refuse to live under the power of God. So we want to live under the power of our own distorted minds. And also, I see something very important here, because it is a time for us to be called towards renewal. All of it needs to come to the point where they are renewed in spirit. I'm not going to give an invitation, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to move this lectern back. And I'm going to do something, because I think it needs to be done today. I think it needs to be done in this body. There needs to be some renewal. Renewal between you, me, and God. Nobody else. Well, don't be hunching your husbands and wives, your relatives. Are you going up? No. I'm going to get, if you need to be renewed, you get up out of your pew and come on right up here, and we're going to pray about this thing, and God's going to do something. You need to be renewed because there's something wrong. Just stand right up here. You need to be renewed because you've been listening. You've been carried away. That the devil's act has worked in your life to destroy it. if you need renewal to do it God's way. Oh, this ain't about Pastor John, because see, I'm here for renewal. See, you've been contacted. You've made some decisions and you haven't thought them through. You've been carried away. Well, it's time for some renewal, because that's what God is all about. God is not about any one person, any one family, any one thing. He is about this church moving on for Him. And that's not going to happen as long as we allow the devil to come in our midst and to destroy us. And trust me, some folk that need to come up here not going to come up. You know why? Because then it'll be, well, they'll know that I, oh, God knows you. That's what your problem is. You worried about what other folk going to say. These folk aren't concerned about your life spiritually. These folk are concerned about having personal friends to oblige them in their sin. I'm going to tell the Lord, Lord, I know I've blown it. I know I've sinned. I know I've messed up. I know I'm all corrupt. I don't have to use my pastor badge to make no chump change thing. I want some renewal in my life. And I want to do it God's way. And I don't want to listen to anybody else for the rest of my life when it comes to God. I don't even want to listen to John Coleman, because that fool's going to drop dead one day and it's just me and God. That's what renewal is all about.
You better preach, boy.
And then you stop listening to people that'll never get up here. Because see, they're going to call and ask you, what did he do this week? What did he do this week to you?
Preach, boy.
How did he manipulate your mind this week? Then you got to come to it and say, wait a minute, where are you? Because it's between you and God.
Preach, boy.
And that's what renewal is all about. Now, we're going to pray for these up here, but for those of you that are sitting out there, you need it too, and you know it. Because there's an area in your life. You need it. You can sit there and say, oh, not me, I've done that. Right! You can continue the process. These that have come forward are saying, this process stops now. It doesn't continue. Let's bow and pray. Father in heaven, I join myself in this group of individuals that needs to be renewed. I need you to talk to me on the inside of my heart in terms of the way I feel about my brothers and sisters. I need for you to put deep down within my heart an everlasting love that'll never change. I need, Heavenly Father, to know that these love me and I love them. I need to know that all that you call me to do, that I'm going to be faithful to it. Father, these also need you in their lives, that they may not be manipulated by the unspiritual, but only by those that want to get closer to you. I ask, Heavenly Father, that you would forgive each of us that are standing here of our own personal sins. You know what they are. We each need renewal. Me, Father, for my getting too close and not knowing when to turn off. Me, Father, for my language. Me, Father, for being stronger than others and not considering their weakness. Forgive me of being me. And Heavenly Father, but I ask you to make me bold in you with your biblical truth and never to back off from that. Now these, Father, they're coming to you with the various needs in their lives. Maybe, Heavenly Father, they need a clear explanation of what their ministry is all about. I pray, Heavenly Father, that I will be open. And Heavenly Father, that I will love them as you love them. Father, we ask that you might hold this body, this church together, especially these that have come forward. We want to see some difference in our lives. We're not ashamed to stand before the congregation and say, I come forward. I need you in my life. And Father, we pray for this. Forgive each of us of our sins. Forgive Olivette for their sins. And Father, may we go forward to procure eternal salvation in our lives in a way of obedience. Bless this church. Father, don't let us lose this place. Please don't let us lose this place. We love you. We want to do your will. And Father, we pray that those that don't want to be with us, and let them just get out of here. Go on and find somewhere else to spin out in that emptiness. Father, may we become a unit together in love. Forgive us. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Well, You might be saying, Pastor John, what was the outcome? Sounds like you prayed, man. Sounds like you was really serious about retaining the ministry, repenting of your personal sin, and asking the congregation to do the same. What happened? A number of weeks after that, I submitted my resignation. Accusations flew. The persons that wouldn't come up for prayer. And, you know, persons that wouldn't come up for prayer furthered their efforts. It was time to get rid of this kind of a pastor that was so open, so bold, and so freely preaching about what God would want to do. Now, for those of you that like to know how my preaching ended up in Olivet, that's the way it ended up. Because after that sermon, the accusations flew. And God spoke to my little heart and just told me, get out of there. The ministry doesn't even exist today. None of the people that wanted to be the leaders in it are there. They all abandoned it, except for a handful of people and a crony pastor that they have holding on to the $1 million since the property was taken over by a secular school. Just shame. Shameful. But that's what happens when sin comes to the door. Don't Blame Me is the name of this sermon. Thank you for listening in as we take a look back in history at a church. What's the history of the ministry that you come out of? That's my history. That's the church that I grew up in. My family church. I spent over 30 some odd years in that church, in that ministry. My mentor was in that ministry. He built the church, the congregation. But sin can destroy it. Thank you so much for coming to the website. This is Pastor John. You'll be able to find me right here at Into the Word Ministries. I have a new pulpit, this pulpit that's worldwide now. And I'm going to play all these sermons and archive them and put them up for you and so that you can know. And for those of you in Los Angeles that didn't know, that's the way that ministry ended. God bless you. Stay in the Word.